Shalom Chaverim. Baruch haba lechol makshivim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi, Kehilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, the German historian Heinrich Gretz, in his Divrei Yemei Yisrael, quotes a somewhat catchy little saying, which, because of the literary area in which it is domiciled, has acquired no small degree of popularity. Let me quote it for you. Here it is. From Moses to Moses, there was none like Moses. It is catchy, isn't it? What does it mean? Well, as you can guess, the phrase has in view three separate individuals, each possessing the name Moses. The first named is, of course, the Moses, our great teacher and prophet of God. The second so named refers to the great philanthropist Moses Montefiore. And the saying itself is, therefore, intended as a tribute to the greatness of the third individual, Moses ben Maimon, better known as Maimonides. Moses Maimonides was born in Cordova, in Spain, in the year 1135 of the Common Era, and he became justly famous as a physician, a philosopher, and a codifier. In effect, therefore, our catchy little saying is a declaration that, from the advent of Moses, the great recipient of the Ten Commandments, right through to the year 1784 AD, no Jewish figure was capable or worthy of comparison with Moses Maimonides. Now, I am not only prepared, but also happy to concede that the originator of this collocation of words may not have intended that they be taken too seriously. Nevertheless, lest there be such a peril, it would perhaps be wise to refer them to our great and authoritative teacher, Moses of the Torah. What would be the fate of this phrase under his divinely illumined scrutiny? Fortunately, the 18th chapter of Devarim, that is, Deuteronomy, will supply the irrefutable answer. Here are the words of the greatest individual ever to bear the name Moses. Navi, Mikir Becha, Mei Achecha Kimoni, Yakim Lecha, Adonai Eloheicha, Elav Tishmaun. A prophet from the midst of thee, from thy brethren, like me, shall the Eternal, thy gods, raise up unto thee. Unto him ye shall hearken. And to any who might question the sufficiency of Moses' own prophetic utterance on this matter, Moses grants knowledge of the divine origin of the promise when he adds, And the Eternal said unto me, They have well said that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. Here then, my friends, we have the gauge, the standard, the criterion, the touchstone, the yardstick, whereby we may test and measure the reliability and hence the acceptability of our catchy little saying. God has declared that he himself would raise up unto Israel a prophet like Moses. Just think of it. Do think of it just for a moment. A second Moses. It would be the height of folly to minimize the magnitude of this divine promise. It is futile to suggest, as some have done, that Joshua was the promised prophet, or that Jeremiah fills the picture. When the full stature of Moses himself is fully captured by the mind, these and other figures have the appearance of a 3 years old child tripping precariously round the backyard in his father's trousers. Right here, it will be profitable for us to assess somewhat the magnitude of Moses. It was Shakespeare who declared, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man, in his time, plays many parts." With Shakespeare's gracious permission, I would like to apply this partial quotation to Moses. However, in doing so, I wish to dismiss from the application all the concepts of human fantasy or fiction which embellish the legitimate theatre. For the actor we have in mind had his parts thrust upon him by none other than Almighty God. Moreover, they were portrayals possessing purpose, divine purpose. Indeed, our simile could be better expressed and extended in the words of Du Bartas: "The world's a stage where God's omnipotence, his justice, knowledge, love, and providence do act the parts." The world was indubitably the stage, God the creator of the parts, and Moses the divinely selected actor for all of them. Someone has suggested that Moses assumed no less than 24 offices or functions. It certainly would be an alluring and profitable occupation to explore this estimate with a view to confirmation or otherwise. However, we have no difficulty whatever in observing him fulfilling the various roles of prophet, mediator, king, redeemer, liberator, leader, lawgiver, warrior, shepherd, priest, teacher, prince, servant, intercessor, voluntary substitute, and intimate of God. This, then, is something of the stature of the mighty Moses. Hence, rejecting modern Jewish expositions, resulting merely from polemics, I have the greater respect for our ancient Jewish interpretation, which exhibits Moses as a type of the Messiah, and urges Israel to study Moses, so that through him Israel may be helped to identify the Messiah, whom Moses adumbrates. Just as an undistorted shadow, though lacking the full details of the substance producing it, is nevertheless a reliable indication of that substance, so Moses, the shadow, is a reliable indication of Messiah, the substance. The learned rabbi Levi ben Gershon, better known as Gersonides, commenting on this very passage of Deuteronomy, observes, and here I quote him, "In fact, the Messiah is such a prophet, as it is stated in the Midrash on the verse, 'Behold, my servant shall prosper.' Moses, by the miracles which he wrought, drew but a single nation to the worship of God, but the Messiah will draw all nations to the worship of God." That is the end of the quotation. On this point, I am in hearty agreement with Gersonides. It is also interesting to observe the paraphrase adopted by our very ancient Jewish Targums. Let me quote it: "And a prophet of righteousness will the Eternal your God give you, a prophet from among you of your brethren, like unto me, with the Holy Spirit will the Eternal your God raise up unto you. To him shall you be obedient. That is the end of this quotation. Maimonides himself discerns something of the magnitude of the promised prophet, for in his famous Morer Nevuchim, he weds the Deuteronomy passage with the 23rd chapter of Exodus, where God refers to a heavenly messenger as Israel's protecting escort to the promised land. As we scan the archway of the ages from Moses to Moses, what Jewish figure fills and overflows the measure of majesty shadowed forth by Moses, who was hailed publicly in Jerusalem as King of the Jews? Was it not the same one who declared that Moses wrote of him? Was he not both Prince of Peace and Servant of God? Was not he so completely and intimate with God that he declared that no one had seen God except himself, for he and the Father are one? If we believe his words, as we believe the words of Moses, should we not be glad that we have found him of whom Moses spoke? For beyond doubt, the record of our Jewish New Testament exhibits him as prophet and mediator, teacher and leader, priest and lawgiver, intercessor and shepherd, and as the prophesied Messiah, Redeemer of Israel, the voluntary substitute for the sin of fallen man, in which capacity already he has drawn the redeemed of all nations, both Jewish and Gentile, to the worship of God. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav eilecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav eilecha v'yasem lecha, Shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.